Muy buenos días, amados hermanos y amigos presentes y los que están conectados.
Good morning, beloved brethren and friends present, and to everyone connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8 in different countries. They're in Monterrey, Nuevo León, Mexico, where the missionary Miguel Bermudez Marín is at. May God bless you greatly, Miguel, and continue to use you greatly in the work of God at this end time, as well as your wife, Ruth, and all your family there. May God bless them greatly. And the pastor there, the Reverend Epifanio Lopez, his family, and the entire congregation. May God bless them greatly, and also all the ministers and their congregations, and those who are present here as well. May the blessings of God, the Creator of heavens and earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, be upon each and every one of us on this occasion. As a subject, we have, Thus saith the Lord to His anointed, for which, let us read the scripture that was read to us there in this message by Dr. William Soto Santiago, which was preached on December 17th. December 17th, 2005 in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Today is January 26th of 2025. Therefore, let us read the scripture of Isaiah chapter 45, verse 1 and on. Where he tells us, Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus. There he writes at the top, Cyrus equals the sun, S-U-N. Revelation 11, 15 to 19, Revelation 11, 15 to 19, 11, 3 to 7, 19, 11 to 21. And there are several scriptures there. We will put them in the study later on. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and will loose the lions of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee, and will make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass, and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Gates of brass, above there, in the Bible study, he writes, Greece. On bars of iron, he writes, Rome. I will break in pieces the gates of brass, and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness, and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, here in the Bible study, he writes, the Lord, which call thee by the name, I'm the God of Israel. For Jacob's my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee. Here he writes, last name, above. And here in the Bible, an arrow as well, and he writes, last name. though thou hast not known me. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed. Above the subject, there he writes, the Lord. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed. You may please be seated. On the right side, there from the subject, he writes, what is the anointed of the last day? With a question mark. And on the side, he writes, the angel of Jesus. On top, he writes, Zechariah 4:1-14, Revelation 11:3-7. Those are the two olive trees. And he writes, Elijah and Moses. In other words, it's the angel of Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit operating those ministries. And he writes, after the scripture, King Cyrus, anointed of and by God, typifies, represents Christ as King in his second coming to take the kingdom. King Cyrus, anointed of and by God, typifies, represents Christ as King in his second coming to take the kingdom. He tells us in the Book of the Seals, on page 246, let us see on this other one as well. He said, I am not the Messiah. He said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. That was John the Baptist. That went as far over their heads as it could go. They didn't know nothing about it, see? And yet, they was all looking for his come. But it couldn't be a guy like that. Oh my, that would be terrible. What school are you from? None. Have you got your fellowship card? What is it? See? He was anointed of God. He said, there's one thing I have. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. There, to the right, he writes, the anointed one. Now, that's all he had. He talked in terms of a woodsman, not in the terms of a clergyman. Vipers and axes and trees and so forth. He didn't talk in ecclesiastical terms. But Jesus said, there never was a prophet like him, never a man born of a woman like him till his day. That's right. He was more than a prophet. He was the messenger of the covenant, stood right between the two dispensations. Coming in, see, more than a prophet. There to the left, he writes, between two dispensations. And to the right, he writes, the gap between the two dispensations. Here he writes, the dispensations. And so then, they didn't know him. They didn't understand him. He was kind of an odd-like sort of fellow, so they dismissed him, see? Then when Jesus come, then and surely wasn't going to accept him. This carpenter's boy, there wasn't nothing like that, with a black name behind him of illegitimate. And he, they wasn't going to see a fellow like that. To the right, he draws a cornerstone in the ages. But look what God did. He took the unlearned, poor fishermen, woodsmen, farmers, and harlots, and let the dignitaries sit there. Why? What? Why did he do it? Why did he do such a thing? Could you imagine? Because that then people recognized him to be the Word. To the right, he writes, he was the Word. Now let us just watch them just a minute. Here is an old ignorant fisherman, can't write his name. The Bible said he was ignorant and unlearned. He brings his fish up and set it down, goes down there and see what all this noise is about. But way down deep in him, he knows that the Bible said that the Messiah, all Hebrews looked for the Messiah, because there was to be a scriptural thing happen when he come. To the right, he writes Messiah. There had been a lot of messiahs raised up and said, I am he. Down here, he writes, a scriptural thing happening equals the coming of the Messiah. A scriptural thing happening equals the coming of the Messiah. Here on this other book read, below he writes, many messiahs came in the days when the true Messiah came. Many messiahs came in the day when the true Messiah came. That is, many anointed. And led them off by the hundreds. And perished and everything. But see, that was to throw off the real one when it comes. Here on this one he draws a Star of David to the left. We've had Elijah's mantles and coats and every other thing, but that's just to throw off the real thing when he does come, see? In the book of quotation, he speaks about, we've had Elijah's and Elijah's coats, but the Elijah of this day is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says something like that. Here in this other book of the seals, on the left he writes, Elijah. That's right. All kinds of people that wore the robes and the garments and been buried in all kinds of hood turned around and everything else. That don't. That just only vindicates, like a bogus dollar shows there's a good one somewhere, if you can just find it. And it's like when we spoke this morning that the hardest thing is to find the one who comes afterwards, that is, the successor. Elijah located the hardest part. Anyone may say, well, imagine to find Jehu and Hazael to anoint them as king now, that was really going to be impossible. But notice, it was harder to find the successor. And when Elijah found him, that's it. That was the hardest part, finding his successor. In the book of quotations is what we quoted is on 1471. Page 165, paragraph 1471. That wasn't Elijah. That was the Spirit of God on Elijah. Elijah was just a man. Now we've had the Elijah's and Elijah's coats, and Elijah's mantles, and Elijah's everything. But the Elijah of this day is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is to come according to Matthew, the 17, Luke 17:30. Is the Son of Man is to reveal himself among his people. Not a man, God. But he'll come through a prophet. Now, he never had two major prophets at the same time, never in the world. And there he writes, two major prophets. The Son of Man in a prophet. Elijah equals is Jesus Christ. Now he continues to say here, like a bogus dollar shows there is a good one somewhere if you can just find it, see? Here in this other book of the seals, he writes, what's false is a copy or imitation of what's true. What's false is a copy or imitation of what's true. If there is a copy, and many trying to impersonate, then there has to be something real. There has to be one that is the true one. So here he come. Now these dignitaries come out, and there was someone their substitute. Why? They said, now if the Messiah comes, he'll certainly come to Caiaphas. He'll come to our denomination. He'll come to the Pharisees. The Sadducees, that's what you think, he'll come to the Sadducees. And there they was, see, the same thing they have today, now. But when he come, it was strange. He will come, oh, very contrary to what they thought. But he come according to the word. And they didn't know the word. Let me say that real, so it'll sink way down. I want this to get it. That's what's the matter with you today, see? You don't know the word, see? Jesus said, you can discern the face of the skies, but the signs of time you can't discern. Said, we have Moses. So said, if you had known Moses, you'd known me. Didn't know Moses, and therefore they didn't know. They just know a creed that they had hatched out. In this book, there he writes, on the notes, the Pharisees expected the Messiah to come to their denomination, and the Sadducees expected him in theirs, yet he did not come to either one. Now notice, in the message, the anointing that produces the materialization of the Word of God, preached on July 30th of 2011 in Bogota, Colombia, our brother William tells us there is a place where he says that, behold, I come as a thief, or that he comes as a thief. Peter and Revelation also said so. That is in 2 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. There he writes, above the day of the Lord, he wrote 7 millennium. That is the 7th millennium. Also Isaiah, on the 2nd chapter, first verse 1 and on says, the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. There to the left, he writes, the capital of the world, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Notice there on the right, he writes several scriptures. He writes 7th millennium. And he writes Revelation 7, verse 2, 14, verse 1, 1:10-11, and 11:3-7. And also between the paragraphs, before the third one, there he writes Isaiah 61:5, 59:20, and 11:1-9. That is of Isaiah. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his way, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Therefore, thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. Their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, neither is there any end of their chariots. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. And the mean man bowed down, and the great man humbled himself. Therefore, forgive them not. Enter into the rock, and hide thee in the dust, for fear of the Lord, and for the glory of his majesty. To the left, there he writes, Revelation 6:12-17, 19:11-21, 10:1-11, and 11:3-7. That is the coming of the Son of Man with his angels. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the heightiness of man shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains. There he writes, Kingdom, great nations. And upon all the high mountains, and upon all the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, there he writes, cities, and upon every fenced wall, and upon all the ship of Tarshish, and upon all the pleasant pictures. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the heightness of man shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And he writes Revelation 6:12-16, and 11:1-19. Now notice how the Apostle Peter and also Isaiah show us the coming of the Son of Man. Now notice what our brother William continues to say here. Behold, I come as a thief, or that he comes as a thief. Peter in Revelation also said so. But let us leave that alone, because that is the coming of the Lord for his church, which will be a total secret, which will be revealed to the church, bride, revealed as it was revealed to Peter, revelation from heaven to understand the coming of the Lord to his church at the last day, in the fulfillment of the seventh seal. In the Book of the Ages, unedited, in Spanish, which in English is Revelation chapter 4, part 1, page 21-22, tells us on paragraph 124, it says, I want to get another, you can read it, on down, get the 28th verse here, because you can read the rest of it when you go home. Verily, verily, I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death until they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. Oh, think of it. Some standing here, shall not taste of death until they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. There to the left, He drew a cornerstone and the ages, and an arrow towards the cornerstone. To the right, He draws a cornerstone as well. What a statement! How the critics like to pick that up and just show how dumb he is, see? How he likes to get a hold of that, and it came to pass, and they didn't know nothing about it, see? All right. After Peter's rock confession, which we know that his confession is, he would build his church on this same rock, not Peter being a little stone, as the Roman Catholic tries to say it, but Peter's confession of the revelation. That's the church. God will reveal it. Not a confession of this man, because later he backslid. Not a confession of him being the Son of God, because they knew he was the Son of God. Peter just said it. But what it was the revelation that has been revealed from heaven that he was the Son of God. Said, flesh and blood has never thought it to you, but my Father which is in heaven revealed it to you. And upon this rock, that rock confession, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. To the right, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. Now notice in a notebook, he writes, before the adoption of Jesus, before the adoption, they, Peter said, you are the Christ, and above he writes, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God, the Anointed One, the Christ of God. And today he is the Christ. And on top he writes, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Son of David. And on top he writes, King of Kings and the Lion. They will not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. Before the adoption of Jesus, notice, Peter made that confession before Mount Transfiguration. Now notice here also, in this writing, there he writes, the adoption of Jesus. So that you can see there how he put that there. The adoption of Jesus and Revelation 19. Let us see here so that you may see it. And that refers to this page that we are reading. The adoption of Jesus and Revelation 19:11-21. The Word, and he writes there in between, and the name, three dots there, and then he writes Jose. Now, the revelation of who Jesus was, notice on page 22, was not about Peter, but about the revelation of who he was, and that that revelation had come from above, from heaven. Now notice, our brother William continues to say, it is because the one who have to believe are the elect, the ones who will receive the faith to be transformed, and therefore, that mystery will be revealed to them, just as it was revealed to Peter, and then also to the apostles. In the message, the Anointed Ones at the End Time, tells us on page 35, the Reverend William Branham says, but here is the word, Christ himself. That's the anointed word. And he writes, Moses and Elijah, which shall come for the rest of his body, the bride, the anointed of the same water that watered the wheat, as we talk about, also waters the tares. There to the left, he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and from the word body, there an arrow towards the cornerstone. Only the elect, or predestinated, will be able to detect the difference between them. And to the right, he writes, the word made flesh. Now, our brother William continues to say, just as it was revealed to Peter and then also to the apostles, when Christ says to Peter, flesh and blood have not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Around chapter 16, right, Miguel? On Matthew. Now notice that Jesus knew who he was. He asked them, and you, who do you say I am? Now, Jesus knew. Notice what Brother Branham says in the message, Why Christ Speak? On page 39, he says, Jesus never cried when they brought the maniac boy to him that had epilepsy, falling into the fire. He never said, Father, I'm your son, and now you sent me here to do so and so and so. Can I heal this boy? He never said. He said, come out of him, Satan. He spoke and the boy was made well. When he met Legion with 2,000 devils in him, it wasn't Jesus crying, it was the devils crying. If you're going to cast us out, oh my, suffer us to go into that herd of swine. Jesus never said, now Father, am I able to do this? He said, come out of him. And the devils took their flight. Sure, he knew he was the Messiah. And there he writes, Jesus knew who he was. The Messiah equals the Anointed One. Jesus spoke and it happened. Now notice, he identified those devils. But notice, where did they go to? Into the swines. And notice how he says, don't cast pearls before swine. That is, a person who has, speaks and blasphemes and speaks against the divine program and against the work that God is carrying out. Notice, if he said that the pearls should not be cast before swine, well, those are people who have those spirits. And there, Jesus is identifying them as swines. They're animals. Now, he goes on to say, Jesus never said, now, Father, am I able to do this? He said, come out of him. And the devils took their flight. Sure, he knew he was the Messiah. At the grave of Lazarus, he had been dead 4 days. They said, if you would have been here, Lord, he would not have died. He said, I am the resurrection and life. Amen. Not where, when, or how. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Amen. He knowed who he was. He knowed what he was. He knowed that he was Emmanuel. He knowed he was the resurrection. He knowed he was life. He knowed that in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He seen them little people there, and he has seen that what God had told him then to do. And there he was. He went down there. He never said, "Now wait, I'll kneel down here and all of you kneel down and pray." He said, "You believe I'm able to do this?" Amen. He asked for it. It wasn't him, it was them. "Yeah, Lord, I believe that you're the Son of God that was to come into the world." Oh my. There he was identified. Something has got to happen. Now there we see another occasion. He was identified there in that case with Peter. On that occasion with Peter. Something had to happen. Here he was identified in the case of Lazarus' death. This is Mary and Martha's brother. And she identified him. It says, something had to happen. Lazarus come forth. He spoke and a dead man come forth. Not, can I? He just spoke. When the faith was met, the thing happened. That's why there can't be not one bit of doubt. He says that unbelief cannot enter that church. There can't be not one bit of unbelief. He says the Holy Spirit will not let it in or will cast it out. That is in the book of Quotations. Now, he continues to say further on, Brother William says in this message that I'm reading, if it is for resurrection, the word must be spoken by the Holy Spirit through the instrument that he has, so that it becomes real, so that creative word is materialized. No matter what it is for, the Holy Spirit must speak through the instrument that he has, so that the promise is carried out. That is why in John chapter 5, verse 25, he says that the dead will hear. Let us see here. On the Gospel according to John chapter 5, verse 25 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear shall live." And there he writes in flesh. That is through that instrument. Now let us see here. That is on 528, the one I quoted you a few seconds ago. I've often wanted to come into a church. Let us see the writing that's also here. I've often wanted to come into a church. I've longed to see it, I guess, where I could walk in the back door, front door, wherever it was, look across an audience and see a perfect church, all in order. Sin couldn't stay there, no. The Spirit called it out, you see? It just couldn't stay. Like Ananias and Sapphira. You just couldn't do it. There'll be no sin in that group. And there on top he writes, Ananias and Sapphira. What happened back then in the time of the apostles? Now notice in the message, The Return of Elijah, Dr. William Soto Santiago tells us, preached on November 10th of 2007 in Santiago, Chile. He says, so if they think like that, they are looking for that ministry everywhere because they also believe that it will be a man who will appear on earth. And when they even speak about the coming of the Messiah, they believe he will be a man who will appear on earth, who will be anointed with the anointing of the Spirit of God. He is speaking about the Hebrew people. because Messiah, Christ, and Anointed One is the same. What Christ means is the Anointed One. What Messiah means is the Anointed One. In the message, The Feast of the Trumpets, on page 20, which is an excerpt, that is in the Book of Quotations, on page 128, on page 4a. Write that down there also, that is where the portion of paragraph 37 is. Notice it says, are you afraid now? You're making this concerning this new ministry that you're entering? This new ministry, he circles that. Do you think that's going to be, you say, greater? Yes. How do you know? God said so. Oh, I haven't got one bit of doubt. My heart's just leaping and jumping to get to it. And leaping and jumping, he circles each one of them. See, because God said so. That settles it. That's just. That's just all there is to it. It's going to be that way. God says so, and that settles it. Now notice on page 128, which is the excerpt that we will read from the booklet, The Feast of the Trumpets. It is on paragraph 1140. It's from page 15. Go into the prophet's chamber and watch them seven steps. Where did the guard meet the challenge? Here in the booklet, he draws a cornerstone and the ages and an arrow towards the seventh age. And he numbers the last two, 6 and 7. To bring the comer into the presence of the king at the top of the steps. There he draws a cornerstone, the ages, and an arrow towards the cornerstone. Was in the seventh step. And seventh step, here on the book of quotations, he writes the forerunner. The presence of the king, there he writes of the foreman. And a cornerstone there to the right. Was in the seventh step. There shows that we've got to come again with that same spirit that was on John. He introduced the Messiah. He was greater than all the prophets. He introduced it. And we've got to come to a place again to something that's going to introduce the Messiah. And how will the Messiah, the people that believe in him, know it? The people that what? That is believing him. Unless they are constantly in the Word to know what he is. Daniel said, the wise shall know, but the foolish, the unwise, wouldn't know. They shall know their God. There in between those two paragraphs, here in the booklet, he writes, the Messiah equals the Anointed One with the Holy Spirit. In the book of quotations, there he writes, how to know the Messiah, the Anointed One with the pillar of fire. He also writes, the Messiah will be known. It is always in the Word. The prophet's chamber. Now, our brother William continues to say here, So therefore, that is what they are waiting for, a man anointed with the Spirit of God. And they are going to see him because God has promised it. And the elect who are going to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb will also see him. That is why the Reverend William Branham, speaking of the angel who comes down from heaven in Revelation 10, says that that's the angel of the covenant, Christ. And he says, he is the messenger to Israel. He comes directly to the Jews. But the church has to come to its end. In other words, the time to be taken with Christ, and then he says, he comes for his church. Now, he is the messenger to Israel, and he comes for his church. In the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed, on page 50, paragraph 379 tells us, and in the last days, it shall come to pass, behold, I sent to you Elijah the prophet, and he shall turn the heart of the children back to the faith of the fathers. And in there would be a time, come forth, when he could express himself in fullness of his Godhead, deity, through his church, have the preeminences in this church. Oh my, what? The anointed man. Now the anointed people. Oh my. To bring back the anointed bride and the bridegroom. Anointed by why? Accepting what Eve turned down and Adam. Once again, notice, we see this case there. Coming back with the anointing of the Word. In other words, recognizing. Because he said, my Word is Spirit. See, anointed with the Word. What Eve turned down, and he writes the title deed. He comes back, and we accept it. And to the left, he writes, God incarnate. And below, he writes, today the bride accepts what Adam and Eve rejected, which was the Word, the title deed. Today, the bride accepts what Adam and Eve rejected, which was the Word, the title deed. And to the right, he writes, the ones anointed with the Word. Now, our brother William keeps on saying, that is on page 70 and 71 and 72 of the Book of the Seals, which in Spanish is a version I have and ends on page 484. And also in the Book of Quotations, page 2a, paragraph 11 and paragraph 15, he says that when the Jews see Christ in the midst of the church, when they see him coming for his church, for his bride, they'll say, this is the one we are waiting for. But he does not come for them. He comes for his church. Now, there are stages. In some places, he says he's coming for them, and in others, he says he's coming for his church. But remember, what is or what will the seventh trumpet will be, which is Moses and Elijah for the Jews, is the seventh seal for the church. That is in 1143 on the Book of Quotations. That portion that our brother William quoted there from page 128. The first sentence of that paragraph says, under the seventh trumpet is to Israel, the same as the seventh seal was to the church. And there he writes, Moses and Elijah. Above seventh trumpet, he writes, Moses and Elijah. And above seventh seal, he writes, Moses and Elijah as well. Because the Son of Man comes with his angels. Was to the church. We find under the seventh seal that when these souls that were under the altar there that received robes, they were given robes. Yes, let us wait a minute. We find under the seventh seal that when these souls that were under the altar there that received robes, they were given robes. Not that they earned them. because they were in the dispensation when God was still dealing with grace with the Gentiles. And above there, he writes dispensation of grace. Above dispensation, when God was still, there he writes dispensation of grace. Now, our brother William continues to say here, therefore, we can see two perspectives there. What is for the Jews and what is for the church. In other words, first they will see Elijah and those things, and then later on they will realize that there is much more. Now notice on this writing that he left us here. He wrote behind a study. He wrote, everlasting permanent peace will be announced by Elijah and will be established by the Messiah, that is by the Anointed One. The Christ, the Anointed One, a man who will come anointed. And he writes, he will be born on earth and he will be a Jew. The everlasting permanent peace will be announced by Elijah and will be established by the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, a man who will come anointed with the Holy Spirit. That's the Prince of Peace who will destroy the Antichrist and establish his kingdom with its capital in Jerusalem, which will be the kingdom of David restored, and the Messiah on the throne of David. For Judaism, for Christianity and Islam, it will be Jesus coming, destroying the Antichrist, establishing his kingdom, and bringing peace and happiness. Now the Antichrist, so that something is left there, look in the book of the 70 weeks of Daniel. There is a place here where he writes to have this clear of who the Antichrist is. On page 108, which in Spanish is 146. And notice the overspreading of abomination to make desolation. The overspreading of abomination. What is abomination? Filthiness. See? To make desolate. What is that? To do away with. The overspreading of this, to do away with that, see? The overspreading of that Roman power to conquer all the sleeping virgin, Jews and all. We'll all be Roman or we won't be nothing. Now, I saw a news, I have to confirm if it was so, which says that everything will be solved when the religions come together, unite, something like that. It is said, I think somebody sent me a news. Now, that was said by the image. The President of the United States. Let us see if they send me that news. He says it would be all be over if everything was united or if they came together. You can leave the generators, because if the power keeps going out, Let us see where it was. Here it is. At least here it says that it is from a TV station, that is from a channel. It says,
President Trump, the problems of the Middle East can only be solved when all religions come together.
In other words, President Trump, the problems of the Middle East can only be solved when all religions come together. Now notice the tilting that is taking place there. And notice, that is what we are reading here from our brother Branham. Now the only one, the David, that will face Goliath, is one. Now let us see if someone comes out imitating. They're going to run away. They will not imitate this, because they are cowards. Let's see if someone faces the beast and the image of the beast. Only one, he is the 8th one, the David of this time. As simple as that. Now, notice. I'm on paragraph 178 on this version, on page 108. The overspreading of that Roman power to conquer all the sleeping virgin Jews and all. We'll all be Romans or we won't be nothing. He'll break his covenant in the middle of the week. Overspreading of the abomination. If it was the abomination in Jesus' time, when Rome had to come over there with their propaganda, it'll be Rome again. It'll be abomination again to the church, to make desolate, and shall continue unto the consummation. What will he do? Now, David had 5 stones. He was not going to miss the first one. That one was going straight to Goliath. But if you find the place where Goliath, I think he had more brothers. So, each one had a name on it. Let any king or any president come near, he'll be stoned also. Notice that is and represents the word. All the kingdoms will be annihilated by the word. Revelation 17, those 10 kings that gave power and authority to the beast, all of that will be destroyed. Now notice on the back, on this book of quotations, there's a writing here. He wrote, the 666 equals the Pope. And he writes, and the covenant with the Jews. And he writes, the beast and the deadly wound. There in between he also writes, the mistake is the Jews joining the confederation of churches. But on that same page, he says that Moses and Elijah will appear there and will tell them, show them the mistake they have made, they have done. Notice, he goes on to say here, now there's a place where he tells us, in this message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Let us see if it's on page 39. he says. Look at them scholars of that day, those Jews, very fine men. Their organizations of Pharisees, Sadducees, and Herodians, and whatever they might be. See? All the great organizations, and Jesus said, you're blind, you lead the blind. Well did Isaiah speak of you, you have ears and can't hear, and eyes that you can't see. Because Isaiah said this in the Spirit, therefore, the God of heaven has blinded your eyes. You're doing like Eve did, accepting the intellectual side. That is what will happen to the Hebrew people. I'm being told that they're going to switch, to transfer. Just in case the power goes out. Accepting the intellectual side and know nothing of the Spirit of God. Therefore, won't they all fall in the ditch, both the leader as the blind too? And God alone holds this key. And he writes to the right there the key. He expressed the same thing in the previous scripture there a while ago when I read it. When he said, who does man say, I the Son of Man am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon, as son of Jonas. Flesh and blood never revealed this to you. My Father which is in heaven, upon this revelation here alone, I'll build my church. The gates of hell will never prevail against it. And he writes to the left, Son of Man. Now notice on this message, the adoption of the Anointed One, preached by Dr. William Soto Santiago on June 20th, 2009. In Sao Paulo, Brazil, he says, someday the Jews will see him, and they will say, this is the one we are waiting for. They will see the same angel of the covenant who delivered them from bondage in Egypt, which was in Moses. They will see him in another man. And in this message, the invisible union of the Bride of Christ tells us on page 31, oh, let a real predestinated born germ, predestinated by God, hear the word of God. It's music to him. He knows it's the truth. He's tired of that denominational stuff anyhow. Join us. Come, go with us. We've got a social party. We got this. We got... It just didn't sound right to the little fellow. He said, son, you don't belong in that group anyhow. You belong to me. You're mine. He is speaking about Mama Eagle with her eaglet. He said, Mama? And he writes there, the word. Mama, that sounds real. How am I going to get out? Just make a jump. I'll catch you. And he writes Revelation 4. And he writes, come up hither. Where did we read something that Brother Branham says? We read it a few moments ago. On 4a, paragraph 47. Just leaping and jumping to get to it. In other words, come up to the age of the cornerstone. And there he draws a cornerstone. Just make a jump. I'll catch you. That's all you have to do. And to the right, he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and an arrow towards the cornerstone. And he writes, Mama Eagle and her eaglet. The anointed word of God. And he writes, Elijah and Moses and Elijah. The anointed word of God being vindicated before any man that's born to be a son of God. With the predestinated germ, and he writes, soul. with the predestinated germ into him for this hour. He'll see God's message as sure as there is a God in heaven. And to the left, he writes, he'll see the message. And our brother William continues to say, remember that the promise is the coming of the angel of the covenant, the Holy Spirit, Christ in his heavenly body. But he has always had a veil of flesh. In the last one he has, which will be at the last day, there he will write the name of God, name of the city of our God, and he will write his new name, a name that will be used in the millennial kingdom. Everything will be simple. To understand this, we have to locate the one who will be adopted, who will be the anointed one with the Holy Spirit, with the ministry of the last day, the dispensational ministry of the dispensation of the kingdom. Everything will be simple. I think we already shared this writing, but notice what he shows us there. I don't know if I already showed this one, this writing, or it was a study that we read it briefly. But notice there, where, or I think it was on a morning chat. Now notice, everything will be simple, and everything will be parallel to the first coming of the Lord. Now, he continues saying in this message, the source of the power of the Lord's Anointed One, preached on March 2, 2006 in Guatemala. Now notice, there, he places what the dispensation of the law is, what the dispensation of the grace is, and dispensation of the kingdom is. But notice there how in the dispensation of the law, there he places Father. And notice how in grace he places Son. And in the kingdom he makes those lines and there he places Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit, Christ and Anointed One is the same thing. He's the Anointed One. It is the Messiah. Notice he writes there in small letters, Messiah. Now, as the Son of God, he told Peter who he was. And who do you say that I am? And he told him, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, that Son had a name there, under the dispensation of grace, in his first coming, to carry out his work of redemption. And notice, to carry out the claiming work, it is a Son of God born in the church of the Lord, a Son of Abraham according to the faith. His father, notice, under the dispensation of law, now he is a son who in his second coming comes with a name. Everything is so simple that you will notice the very humility and simplicity is what makes people stumble. But the wise would understand, would comprehend. Said the angel to Daniel. Now notice on this message, the source of the power of the Lord's Anointed One, he says, for the last day, you will notice, it will be just like what happened with the prophets and with our beloved Lord Jesus Christ, and with the apostles of the Lord. It will be the power of God through His Holy Spirit in the Anointed One with the Spirit of God, carrying out all those things. From where will the power come to do these things? Or from where did the power come to do everything the prophets did? From God, through His Holy Spirit, through the angel of the covenant. And the wonders that Jesus did, where did that power come from? From God the Father, through His Holy Spirit, manifesting himself through human flesh in the person of Jesus. In the message, Birth Pains, the Reverend William Branham tells us, on page 17, on this message, he says, we are turning a corner. We're building a building. God's Word is the blueprint. Anybody can run a straight line, but it takes a mason to turn the corner. There he writes, a mason, prophet, to turn a corner. It takes the power of God to do that. It takes an anointed one from heaven to be sent down to do that. It has in every age. And in the prophet's age, the word of the Lord comes through those prophets, and they turned those corners, made those difference. But the builders wanted to build a wall. It's not a wall at all. It's a building of God. And there to the left, he draws a cornerstone in the ages. Now, our brother William goes on to say here, that is why Jesus said, the Father who dwells in me, he does the works. He was anointed with the Spirit of God, and therefore, they were not human works, but divine. They were the works of God through the power of God manifested through the Holy Spirit in Jesus of Nazareth, as it also happened with the prophets of the Old Testament. In this message, what shall I do with Jesus called Christ? He also tells us there on page 32 to 33, in a portion here in this message. It says, and now I'm coming down to the close now. And as he came then, clearly identifying himself to be the Word, and he come to the showdown where they must choose the Word or take the system. It's come to the same thing today. Must choose the Word or take the system. And they have took the system. Now what does that do? In closing, he is on the hands of the world, right? Now, my text. That's a long ways to build around. But now I just got started, you see? Don't get up. I was just teasing. Look, here is my text. We know that. That's laying the backgrounds. We got it all laying in one streak here now. Let's see it right down home and see what it looks like. Put her under the glass. Jesus is on the hands of the people. And there he draws an arrow towards the cornerstone that he draws there to the left. Jesus is on the hands of the people. It's on the hands of the church. What would you do with this Jesus that's called the anointed word? The Christ means the anointed word. See? What will you do with this Jesus? Pilate said, what shall I do with it? What's my move? What can I do with this Jesus that's called the Christ? There he also writes, the Christ equals the anointed word. And notice, our brother William keeps saying, and at the end time, the source of the power of the anointed one of the Lord for the last day will come from where? From God. God will be the source of that power, which will be manifested by the Spirit of God through Elijah and Moses, through a man who will be on earth at this end time. And through him, the Holy Spirit will operate the ministry of Moses and Elijah, and will do all these works that are prophesied to be carried out. Therefore, it won't be a man who will be doing these works, but God by his Holy Spirit through a man, or God by his Holy Spirit speaking through a man, and that will be the voice of God, because once more will God shake the earth, and not the earth only, but also heavens, says Paul in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 21 to 29. Therefore, at this end time, we will be seeing the works of God promised to be carried out of the Most High One, Creator of the heavens and the earth, a power that will be manifested through the Spirit of God, through the two olive trees. the source of the power of the Anointed One of the Lord for the last day will be God through His Holy Spirit, and therefore, those will be the works of the Holy Spirit in the midst of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then in the midst of the Hebrew people. Now notice, in this message, it is the rising of the sun, tells us on page 35, He is alive forevermore, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Notice, Messiah, the Anointed One, so is His bride, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And there he writes, the Messiah, it. And he also writes there in front, in a writing here, he writes, the Messiah equals the Anointed One. The Messiah it equals the She Anointed. Thus saith Jehovah, or the Lord, to His Anointed. We have seen on this occasion, under this subject, thus saith the Lord to His Anointed, everything pertaining to what the Anointed One of the Lord is, and what the bride is, the church bride, anointed by the Lord by the Holy Spirit, which is taking place in this end time, in the midst of the world, without the world knowing what is happening, because He has come as a thief in the night, fulfilling the prophecies of His coming. Thus saith the Lord, that is, thus saith YHWH, to His Anointed. There are many more places where He shows us all of this, which we will be seeing, and we have also seen in other studies regarding what that Anointed One of the Lord is carrying out and will be carrying out in favor of the sons and daughters of God, and what He will also speak in favor of those who will come. That is, He will speak the word so that the resurrection takes place. Let us stand. And in this way, we stretch a little bit. And we get ready to receive the message for this occasion. It is a little early. I think we can sing a praise and thus prepare ourselves to receive this message. And grateful to the Lord for all this abundant of word that was stored, where Brother Branham said, and the angel said to him, lay up food. Notice, it's the time in which there is the most word. The Bible, the entire Bible, all the biblical history, all the messages of Brother Branham. That is why he said, have the book of the seals, ages, quotations, and all the messages that you can have of Brother Branham. Because what he foreran is there. What God foreshadowed through him regarding the coming of the Son of Man with his angels. And let no promise be overlooked by anyone. But notice that the wise would understand and would see and would believe the message, the fulfillment of that word. There is a song that was sang, You Are My Lord. We can sing it. I don't know if she's around. Elianai was the last one who sang it. She can accompany us. You are my Lord. You are my Father. You are my doctor. You're my healer. You're my everything. You are the everything in my life. You are everything in my being. O eternal God, you are my Lord. You are my Lord. You are my God, my King, the Master of my being, omnipotent and faithful. Take what I am. Take all of me and do your will for your glory. My soul, spirit, and body, I dedicate to you alone. And now, I rest in your everlasting arms. I feel secure in you. Wherever you lead me, I will follow you. Wherever you take me, I'll be there. And whatever you tell me, that is what I'll do. To serve you is my life. O God, let me reach the end. Yes, Lord. Look in Matthew chapter 17. It was when he brought them up into a high mountain apart. And it was after of what happened in chapter 16, where he told them, he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, the church bride today says, when she is asked, and you, who do you all say that I am? They say, you are the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God. And he can tell them, Blessed are you, church bride, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you loosen on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And whatever is bound in heaven shall be bound on earth. And what is loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In other words, all power is given to the church bride at this end time. That means to have the title deed. Everything is there. Therefore, blessed are you, church bride at this end time, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but the God creator of heavens and earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. You are my Lord. My soul, spirit, and body, I dedicate to you alone. And now, I rest in your everlasting arm. I feel secure in you. Wherever you lead me, I will follow you. Wherever you take me, it is to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'll be there. We will be there. And whatever you tell me, that is what I'll do. Obedience. Serving you is my life, O God. Let me reach the end. Yes, Lord. Reach the end. Reach the end. Reach the end. Continue on, warriors, omnipotent and faithful, man of faith. Do not dismay. Keep going on without fainting. Onward. Our sister Aurea sang today as well. Let us ask her to come up here and sing that song, Onward. Because it is time to continue without fainting, to continue pressing on towards that goal, to continue towards that target of our transformation. We are at the time in which God will be carrying out great things in the midst of His church, things that could not be done in past times, because the title deed was not in the midst of the people. Today, the title deed is in the midst of the church. And nothing will be impossible regarding what God is carrying out at this time. And notice, the greatest thing that is taking place is that spiritual healing. That is the greatest thing. It is the revelation of the seventh seal. The revelation of the Son of Man with His angels. That is the greatest thing that the Lord is carrying out. And why and how is He carrying it out? And how is that possible? The title is here. And by having the title, He brought it open, and it's not closed, it's open. And that man ate it. And what He is speaking is the revelation, the faith, for each child of God to be prepared for the transformation. Therefore, onward. Onward. There are so many words to help. A brother, a friend, an elect. There are so many words to encourage that it won't be long now, brethren. Let us persevere. Onward, I am praying for you. You are an elect. We will reach the goal. We were called to see and understand. It's because you are present. We can see you today. We were called to see and understand. I see you, great anointed one, revealed again. Notice on this message, the choosing of a bride. Our brother Branham tells us, my brother, sister, I don't know what more to say. If I found grace in your sight by the power of God, if you believe me to be a prophet, this is the first time in public I've ever said that, but I feel a strange warning of some sort. I'm not prone to this. You know I'm not. I don't act like this. I hesitate to speak that message and say those things. I run sideways and everything else to keep from doing it. But it's been said, and it'll stand at the day of the judgment as a witness that I've told you the truth. That thus saith the Lord God. O Pentecost, run for your life. Flee to the horns of the altar and cry out before it's too late. For an hour will come when you can cry and it'll do no good. For Esau sought to find the place of his birthright and couldn't find it. I commit you, O California, O convention of the full gospel businessman, who I love, who I have left and struck to. With all my heart, I commit you to Jesus Christ tonight. Flee to him. Don't let the devil ever cool you off from this. Stay right with it until you're everyone filled with the Holy Ghost in so much that will make you come to this word, that will make you women straighten up, that will make you men straighten up. If you say you've got the Holy Ghost and won't cope with the word, it's another spirit in you. God's spirit is on his word, the messianic, the anointed word. The bride must be a messiahette, the anointed word. The messiah equals the anointed word. He wrote that there. And he also writes, the bride must be little messiahs. The anointed word. Where are those anointed ones? Here we are. Little messiahs, anointed one of God, of this time. Onward. There are so many words to help a brother, a friend, an elect. There are so many words to encourage that it won't be long now, brother. Let us persevere. Onward, I am praying for you. You are an elect. We will reach the goal. We were called to see and understand. It's because you are present, we can see you today. We were called to see and understand. I see you, great anointed one, revealed again. I see you, great anointed one, revealed again. There are three great words that he mentioned in the activities when that angel appeared in the campaigns of Brother Branham. And he pronounced them, but they were not heard. And things happened back then, but notice, it was a public show. But everything that will be happening will be a secret. Now, it is all going to be interlocked, which will be moving, developing, until we reach something that is being carried out and then established. May God help us to continue that process and to reach the goal, the completion, where we will see those who will resurrect. It will be a very glorious moment. Page 429 on the Book of the Seals. That glad day of joy which we are waiting to arrive. And we will not be let down, because we are at the right time in the right age, and we have identified the right anointed one. Thus saith the Lord, thus saith Jehovah the Lord to his anointed. Let us thus leave with us right away our beloved brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.